Welcome to a very special episode of the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. Christ Fellowship is celebrating its 25th anniversary this month. 25 years of love, community, service, and being all about Jesus. So I decided to collect some stories and hear some reflections from some of our staff. These conversations were so good. I hope you'll be inspired and encouraged by all that God has done. Of course, we're starting with Bruce. Bruce Miller is not only the senior pastor of Christ Fellowship, he is its founding pastor. I asked him how Christ Fellowship came to be. Bruce, you've been here since the very beginning of Christ Fellowship, which used to be called McKinney Fellowship Bible Church.
It's been what a joy, what a great ride.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how the church got started. Like, you were where and how did this dream get planted?
Yeah, I was in Plano working for what was then Fellowship Bible Church North, now Chase Oaks. And in August of 1995, I really felt God calling me to plant a church in McKinney in an unmistakable way, the closest to a literal voice I've ever heard. And I went to my wife, Tamara, because we were on staff there. She was serving in many ways. We had five kids all in schools. We were well situated. And I said, Tamara, I believe God's calling us to plant a church in McKinney. And my eyes were really big, like asking, what do you think? And she said, let's go.
Nice.
And I about dropped my jaw. She's more.
Because you had all your reasons.
And she's more the worrier, more the, you know, she said, I've never heard you say that God spoke to you like that. And so I'm believing if God's calling you, we should go. And so we committed right then. And then I needed to talk to my boss, the biggest mentor in my life, Gene Getz, who is the pastor at that time. And I worked for him. And it was sort of unspoken, but he said it later that he had planned sort of I would be his successor was the thought. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't so sure what he would say. And actually, several friends had wanted to plant churches, and he had said no. He said, we want to keep our team together. And so Tamara and I took them out to dinners like a month later because he was out of the country. And we went to August Moon, which is no longer existing.
Yes, I remember that.
Off 75. And I remember it took me all the way through the end of the dinner to get the courage up to say something.
And Tamara's like poking you.
And finally, I spilled the story. And surprisingly, his wife, Elaine, spoke first. She's really shy, and Jean's the preacher, so no problem. And she said, I knew that's what you were going to say. And again, our jaws hit the floor. Like, what? She said, I was putting on my makeup, getting ready to go. And I asked Jean, why are we going out to dinner with Bruce and Tamara? Because we had never done that. It wasn't like we socialized together. And she said, I told myself they're going to say they want to start a church in McKinney. And Jean's answer was, I don't know. They just want to hang out. You know, it's relational time. And then to my surprise, Jean said, I think it's good. You're ready. The church is ready. We're ready. And I fully support it.
That's amazing.
So there was just all this confirmation right from the very beginning in the earliest times.
Yeah, that God was definitely behind it. So you get up here, right? And you have to do what Anna's doing now, which is you have to find a place because you don't have a building. So tell us a little bit about the journey through the school system.
Yeah, we are thankful for the McKinney Independent School System. We prayed and talked with them, and they offered us. We didn't want to be in an elementary school because we wanted a bigger space.
Yeah.
And that was the only schools they were renting at the time. And yet they were willing to rent Fabian Middle School, which is before it was renovated. So it was the oldest school in McKinney, physically, the building. There was some disrepair. We had you know, our sound system and all. And so we had to run electrical cords all over to try to hit different plugs.
So you didn't blow the breakers?
Yes, because we blew breakers many Sundays. But well, anyway.
And you had a great story. You have to tell the story about getting in the building sometimes.
Yeah, so the janitor wasn't always there or always...
Reliable.
Trying to say, think nicely here. He had had some fun the night before. Mm. And so we would take one of our kids and lift him on our shoulders to a high window that was cracked open and send them in to open the door.
Because the janitor was supposed to unlock the building.
And he was not there. And he would come later. Or he would unlock the building and then leave. And then we would just do whatever we needed to do, which was all fine. It was all good stories when we think back. And how God provided and what
we
did. Yeah,
but I just can picture, you know, one of your kids on your shoulders climbing in through a window.
They thought it was great. And we tried to make the best of middle school bathrooms. That there was a window that was always propped open, so in the winter it was really cold, but we would bring in soaps and things and try to make it smell better and be better for especially the ladies.
Yes, yes. So those are great years, though. I'm sure you look back on that and think about the people around you and the hard work and the teamwork.
I can remember that we pledged early on. I wrote on a big poster board, "We live by faith, not by sight," 2 Corinthians 5:7. And so some of the early days of starting by faith are, we from the beginning said, let's give 10% away to other missions, other groups. And then we said, let's start with 2 services. And I didn't know personally any church that had ever started with 2 services at that point in 1997. And, you know, when you throw a party and you're wondering, is anybody going to come? And you get all the, buy all this food and you're looking out the door down the street. It's getting closer and you're wondering if anybody's going to come to your party. Well, that's how it is when you start a church. Sunday one, you're like, I hope people come. I know my mom's going to come. You know, I hope somebody else does. Well, when you do 2 services, it's like double. And so we did all we could to get the word out, and God provided. Mm-hmm. And people came to both services. I don't remember how many people came, several hundred the very first Sunday and a little less after that. But it just grew and grew like a rocket ship. Yeah. And I believe God honored the faith of a lot of people who gave sacrificially of their resources and their time to really make this happen.
Yeah. And so then you end up here at 2801 Orchid. And the building has gone through several expansions. And just, do you have anything you want to share about what that's been like as you've kind of planned and you and the elders have had to really work together and think about strategically, but also hearing from the Lord, like, what should we do next? What's next for us?
Yeah, I think it's all been a step of faith and all been people sacrificing. And I can remember in the early years being nervous to ask people for money. In 1997, when we realized we have to have space, we have to get out of the school, we did a capital campaign at the end of 97 when we were about 8 months old. And I remember talking to an organization that helps you do that. And they said, well, we base our fee on 1 month's budget. I mean, 1 year, 1 year's budget. And we said, we don't have a year. We don't have an annual. We haven't had an annual yet. And I forgot how we worked that all out, but people gave generously for us to be able to put a down payment down to buy the property and then to be able to build the very first building. And then what I learned is that actually money and faith and sacrifice and growth in Christ are all tied together. And so I have had just sacred, incredibly meaningful conversations with people who gave a little boy who was selling puppies, giving all his money from selling his puppies. And the tenderness of that to a family telling me they were going to give the money they had saved to send their daughter to college.
Wow.
And me saying, you can't give that. But then I realized I can't take away their sacrifice. And they're, so the mom and dad and daughter, 18-year-old, met with me with huge smiles on their faces. So excited to tell me how they wanted to give this gift. And it was overwhelming to me. Mm-hmm. And I've had that happen dozens and dozens of times. The joy of sacrificing for Christ and living all out in faith. And I've never seen anyone regret stepping out in faith for Christ or giving for Christ in a significant way.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've always loved about you, Bruce, is you have always made it very clear that McKinney Fellowship Bible Church, or now Christ Fellowship, is not an institution. It's not an organization. It's not a staff. It's not a building. I mean, it is those things, but it's far more than those things. And so you've always said McKinney Fellowship Bible Church, or Christ Fellowship, is the people. So talk a little bit about what it has meant to you as just to be a pastor for 25 years. And I know there's probably, you know, 100 stories going through your brain right now, but what has that been like for you personally to get to walk alongside so many people for 25 years?
Yeah, such a joy, honestly. There are a lot of hard things about being a pastor, and if someone wants to be a pastor, I always say really count the cost, but also what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor to represent Christ and to be there for people when babies are born and to be there when people die and weddings and life crises, divorces. And in 25 years, there's babies that have been born here, and I've had the chance to do their dedication when they're infants, and then see them go through Promised Land, student ministry, and then be there when they graduated from high school, and then do their wedding.
Yeah.
And now we have people who were kids here who now are married and have kids in Promised Land. And the joy of being here that long to walk with families for decades is just beyond words of the joy of that. And yes, the difficulty of walking through super hard moments that I can think of that I've, where I've been there in very tragic circumstances. And yet in those most tragic moments, there's a sacredness of being present and representing Christ in the most difficult moments in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see people grow, to trust in Christ, to be baptized. I don't know how many thousands of baptisms. And it never gets old for me.
Yeah. It's always a celebration.
That life change.
Yeah.
And I've never wanted it to be about me.
Yeah.
And I was so encouraged one summer. I had taken time off in the summers as I do. And someone came and they said, I've been here for 4 weeks and I can't figure out who the pastor is. There's not a name outside on the sign. It's not like the first name on the website, but I've never wanted the church to be about me. And so I've been glad that we would deliberately not had my name. Well,
there's no picture of you on the bulletin.
There's no picture of me. There's no big picture of me in the lobby. And so they said it as a real positive.
Yeah.
They said, you know, a little frustration. We can't figure out who the senior pastor is. And yet, gosh, that's really good. And so even on the website, at one point I wanted my name, or when we were publishing a list of staff, I wanted my name in alphabetical order. And people were like, well, wait, Bruce, people really, they want to know who the senior pastor is. And
yeah, that's
probably needs to be up here at the front or whatever. And I get that. And I'm honored to play the role that God's given me to play to be the senior pastor.
Since Bruce, a team of elders and a few founding families started what was then McKinney Fellowship Bible Church way back in 1997, thousands of people, hundreds of volunteers, and dozens of staff have called this church their home. I talked to several current staff members about their journey here at Christ Fellowship and what this church has meant to them. These conversations have produced a revealing glimpse into this church from people who know what's behind the curtain. A church can post their mission statement and values on their website, but after 25 years in existence, what is Christ Fellowship really about? What stands out in the memories of people who've been here just 2 years? What about all 25? What has it meant to those who call Christ Fellowship both church home and workplace? Jan Touchberry has worn many hats over the 18 years she's been at Christ Fellowship. When I talked to her, she shared a story of God's miraculous provision for a growing church. Jan, you said you came to Christ Fellowship in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So almost like, you know, since the beginning, or at least since the early era.
Yeah.
Of us on in the gym before the main worship center was built.
Correct.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, Christ Fellowship, when it first was built, it was just that what's now the Promised Land area.
Right. The Promised Land area and the main doors that come into the church, that was still the foyer.
Mm-hmm.
It looked very different than it does now.
Yeah.
But that was the only space that we had.
Yeah. And so it was a gym, that kind of central area that's now the Promised Land, and then the treehouse on top used to be a gymnasium.
Yep.
And so we had church in there.
Sure did.
And
and move in the chairs, move out the chairs, move in the chairs, move out the chairs.
Yes, yes. And so we've grown a lot since then. And so tell us a little bit about your experience with watching the church grow over the years.
It's been pretty incredible. They, when we first came in, I guess it was April 2002. So it's been almost exactly 20 years that mm-hmm. we've been here. They were in the middle of a building campaign
mm-hmm.
that I don't remember the exact specifics of it, but for some reason, one of the elders really felt like the Lord was saying, you need to put a halt on this, which as any good leader is going to do. They prayed through it and they said, yes, that's the right thing to do. We're going to put a halt on this. They were in the process of, they knew that the church was expanding at such a rapid rate that they were going to have to build.
Yeah. And but they, of course, want to be cautious. I mean, that's absolutely. Lots of money involved.
And I think it had something to do with the 9/11 economy. Yeah. I mean, it was just a hard time
for the world. Yes.
And so it was wise that mm-hmm. they put a hold on that. And so we had, I'm not sure how long exactly the hold lasted. That was before I was on staff. I was involved as a volunteer on the worship team at the time. They felt like they had the go-ahead from the Lord to kind of relaunch this building campaign. And so we knew that we needed X number of dollars in cash in order to move forward. Yes. And so we were doing what we called the leap of faith, and which is exactly what it was. It was aptly named the leap of faith. So I think it was something like $900,000 or $700,000 or something in cash so that we could start.
Yeah.
And they said to the church at large, if we don't get the cash, we're not going to move forward because we're going to take that as a sign from the Lord that it's not time yet.
Yeah.
And so we had this big campaign and everyone did their pledges. And I remember I was on the worship team that day, and it was probably one of my most memorable moments at Christ Fellowship, because back in the day, before we got all fancy, we had our lyric prompts on these giant television, very heavy television monitors that were kind of cocked backward on the stage. And so we were seeing the slides come up on the screen before they were put up on the big screen for the congregation to see.
So the month they had collected an offering and they were counting it. They were counting during the service.
Yes, during the service. Okay. So we had people collecting and counting, and then we were just worshiping during, you know, to bide time and to celebrate. Yes,
and to celebrate.
You know, what God was getting ready to do. So we could see them putting these slides in, and they started from the back number and moved to the front number. And so it's like, this is not a real, like, these are not the real numbers. This is my disclaimer. I don't remember the real number.
It was a long time ago, people. Yeah.
But it was like the two, yay, everybody clapped, it's a two. And then, you know, it's a five. And then they showed on the screen, everybody claps as a five. And then it's a seven. Everybody claps as a seven. And then a four. And then a three. And then the number that we were looking for slide number six mm-hmm. was, you know, seven for 700,000, whatever. And it was a zero. And it, what
so
you just
knew
did,
it had to go one more.
What you just did was exactly what the whole entire worship team did, because we saw it before the congregation saw it. And it was this audible gasp, realizing that the Lord had blown past whatever goal we had. And it was over $1 million in cash that we'd raised.
Wow.
It was, I get chills and a little teary just thinking about it right now, because when the Lord calls you to something, he's going to provide more than we can ask or imagine, right?
Yes.
And it was just, he's just so faithful. And that was just such a tangible moment in the life of Christ Fellowship, where we felt like he said, yes, you're moving forward. I'm going to expand you. And I'm going to do it in a way that is bigger than you can dream of.
You're not going to be able to deny that it was me.
Absolutely.
Right? If we had raised exactly that amount that we had needed, I mean, yes, we would have celebrated and it would have been, yay, God. Yeah. But for him to blow past that number so...
Oh, it was by not a little bit.
Yeah, by not a by lot. Like $50.
No. Yes. It was by a lot. And it was just incredible. From there, just watching building phase two, which is the building that we're in right now.
Which is where the worship center is and the classrooms upstairs.
Mm-hmm. It was an incredible process, just watching, you know, you go through all the construction mess with the plastic and the dust and all the things. But I remember when the worship center was tilt up walls. And I remember when they got the walls done and they had, you know, done the stage. And it was all concrete, and it was very bright.
Yes.
it was a very bright room. Our worship pastor at the time, Dan Taves, took all the worship team and choir members and said, we want to go and kind of dedicate the space to the Lord. And so we just stood on what would be our stage and worshiped. And in this very acoustically desirable space for just voices. And it was one of the most beautiful moments.
Jan isn't the only one who's seen the hand of God moving in and through Christ Fellowship. Jaime Gonzalez is our senior associate pastor, is on our current lead team, and has been leading our Spanish ministry for 15 years. He talks about how that ministry began and how God brought him here to lead it. So, Jaime, I love your story of how you have come to Christ Fellowship and just the tremendous impact you and your family have made here. So talk a little bit about how did Jaime get to Christ Fellowship and how did he end up, how did we end up with a Spanish language campus?
Yeah, that's a great story, Lisa. Well, first, the story starts without me. There was a group of Spanish speakers that started to attend Christ Fellowship, and they would hear Bruce preach the sermon in English, but they would receive it translated by radio headset translation. Okay. And so it was a group of around 15, 20 people at that time. That was going on here in McKinney. In California, where I'm from, where I was from, God was stirring up in my heart the need to continue my education. Because in the Spanish-speaking world, less than 3% of pastors have any theological formal training whatsoever.
Really?
So yeah. There's this deficiency in preaching the Word of God unadulterated and truth. And I was wrestling. I had been a pastor in California for 10 years, but I felt that I needed more tools on my tool belt. And so God was doing something here in McKinney with that small group of Spanish speakers listening to Bruce translated via radio. And I'm in California, and I started to look for a church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where the pastor was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, because that's the seminary that I wanted to attend. I wanted to attend that seminary because people told me, they had told me that they were not going to accept a poor Mexican kid.
Oh.
You know, that's a higher education institution, and you don't have the chops to be able to go there. You don't have the money to be able to make it. But you know what? God is God.
Yeah.
And
if he calls you.
And he called and he provided. We sold our home in California, came to Texas, and then we came to check out Christ Fellowship because Bruce was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. I wanted to have my family go to church where there was the word, where I could see some, what does it look like to be a pastor graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And so we ended up coming to Christ Fellowship. Someone told me that there's a small group of people meeting now in the chapel. That's what they called it, the chapel back then, room 170. And we went to go check it out. And there was a group of Spanish speakers there that were listening to Bruce preach and overdubbed in Spanish. And that's how I got here.
Yeah.
And just started attending church.
So even at the start, even early on, there was this heart at Christ Fellowship to try to reach people where they're at.
Yes, definitely.
So, because McKinney does have a large Spanish-speaking population.
Yeah, about 20% of Spanish of the population here in McKinney is Hispanic, Spanish-speaking.
So, yeah, so there was this idea of like, hey, these are people we want to reach. These are people we want to have a part of us because it makes us stronger to have different people from all over the world come here.
Yeah.
So that's great. And so tell us a little bit just about how the Spanish ministry has grown over the years. Because how long ago was that?
That was now 15 years ago, coming this November, 15 years for me when I arrived. And when I first arrived with my wife and my kids, we just started attending. And then we saw that they were looking for a pastor or a leader. And I'm like, that's not me. I do not want to be a pastor. I came to Texas
to be a student
and to learn from someone like Bruce, a pastor who graduated from DTS. And I am not going to help out or anything like that. I just came to sit down and grow. But then this guy by the name of Neil Mackey, who's now one of our elders, saw that we were attending several weeks, and he asked, hey, do you do something in church? Do you know how to volunteer? Do you play an instrument? And I'm like, I looked at my wife and I'm like, do I say, do I not say? I play the piano. And my wife gave me that look like, tell them.
Tell them the truth.
So I said, yeah, I play the piano. And Neil was like, yes, we need a piano player. And we only had a guitar. Neil was the only one playing an instrument back then. And so Neil played the guitar. I played the piano. And that's how we started. I started as a volunteer helping the Spanish ministry. And then it grew out of the chapel to we went to the gym. And then from the gin, we left when we expanded in Make Room. And now that's where we're at in Worship East. And we've seen God's faithfulness grow over these 15 years to now hundreds of people being ministered in Spanish-speaking language.
Jaime and his team have made Christ Fellowship welcoming to Spanish speakers throughout this area, helping Christ Fellowship become a more ethnically diverse congregation. Among other things, it was being part of a multi-ethnic church that attracted Belinda Soto and her family to Christ Fellowship. Belinda's a preacher's kid who never planned to go into vocational ministry, but God had other ideas. She's now been on staff for 9 years.
We had just moved to McKinney, and so we happened upon Christ Fellowship. Mm-hmm. Never thought, I grew up very Southern Baptist, a PK, and did not know how I was going to explain to my parents that we were not at a Baptist church. When we explained to them that it was a non-denominational evangelical church, Bible church, they took a step back, and my dad just said, well, do they preach the Bible? I said, right. That is all we're about. It is all about the Bible. It is all about Jesus. And that's why we fell in love with Christ Fellowship. It was the only church we visited and the last church that we visited. Mm-hmm. And yeah. We just, you know, we fell in love with it. Our heart was to find a church that would minister well as an multi-ethnic mm-hmm. church. We wanted to find a church that was multi-ethnic. I'd served for 5 years prior as a worship leader at a church in Dallas, and we just thought we needed a little break and some transition, and really, what does it look like to be part of a multi-ethnic church? Because mm-hmm. the church that we were involved with was predominantly Spanish-speaking.
Oh, okay.
And so we still wanted to be able to minister to a Spanish-speaking community, but also be involved in more of a setting where we thought, you know, this is what the church looks like. This is what heaven is going to look like. It is multi-ethnic. It is people of every race and ethnic background. And, you know, long story short, started volunteering. And all of a sudden, they're offering me a job.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about how that came about. Because what I think is interesting and what I found to be true and maybe a little unique about Christ Fellowship is this desire to sort of nurture people in their gifts. And to recognize, I think we have people on staff who are good at recognizing those kind of things in other people and saying, hey, why don't you come on board and
sure.
and use those gifts? So how did that kind of come about?
Well, I met Steve Swadley.
Okay. He used to be our worship pastor.
Yeah. He had stepped into that role, and it wasn't long after he had stepped into that role that we showed up, and his admin was stepping down. Steve was like, hey, I know you're not working and you're volunteering, you know, quite a bit. So why don't you come and work here with, okay. you know, my admin's leaving. And so I know you're kind of in this transition. And I thought, yes, I will come. I will not take a job. I do not want to work. I do not want to work for a church. I will not take a job here. So I will
having, was that because you grew up in a church?
Yes, or, okay. absolutely. I thought I will never, I do not want to be in vocational ministry.
Okay.
And, but I think at that time too, I also knew that I was being called to vocational ministry. Mm. It just wasn't very clear to me, but I just said no. And so Steve said, fine. Why don't you, I mean, I think he practically came to a point where it was like, let us pay you because you're here and you're working. And I'm like, absolutely not. I do not want to work here, and I will work here. I will serve here, but right. I will not work
yes.
here.
Yes. And why was that an important distinction for you at the time?
You know, I think I felt like I was, just digging my heels in at that time.
Okay.
It really wasn't a matter of, I think it's something that I had just ingrained in my head that's not what I'm going to do. And it is, and I think for the most part, it's because I know how hard it is to be in vocational ministry.
Yeah.
Just because I grew up in that yeah. world, and I understood the sacrifice that it was going to take. And I didn't want a part of that. And I wanted to serve, and I wanted to use the giftings that God had given me, but I did not want to be a part of what it meant to be fully surrendered to a life in vocational ministry. It was just too hard.
Yeah.
So you know, another year later, Steve said, please, Belinda, just come on staff. We have a job for you. So I kind of caved and I gave in. And you know what the funny thing was? It was my job was to load up the choir folders at that time. We had, you know, good sized choir, and Steve would take all the music, and all I had to do is load up the choir folders and check ministry platform and fill up the backs of the seats in the worship center with envelopes. And that was my job. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking through the worship center at times just thinking, what are you doing? I had no idea what God was doing with me at that time, because I never thought that that was beneath me to do sure. that. I just felt like, I know that God didn't design me to, you know, spend hours just filling the backs of seats. So I tried to use that as an opportunity to find the growth, to find how God was using that to grow me spiritually.
Yeah. Cause that sort of serving mentality of like, this feels like such a small job, but yet it's a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm serving Jesus by doing this, and I don't have to be the person. Cause I guess coming from maybe from a worship leader standpoint, where you're on the stage and you're very visible, and now you're sort of like, here I am in this empty worship center,
right?
Putting the envelopes in the back of the seats.
Right. I'm on the total flip side, and I had no idea what God was doing. But I tell you what, it was probably the most life-shaping, transforming experience, because it gave me time to think about how I could use those moments to help foster and cultivate maybe what was happening here at Christ Fellowship mm-hmm. at that time. And so I just took that time and space, and I would pray. I would just, I would walk the aisles, and I would pray, and I would pray over every seat, and I would load up the envelopes. And sometimes, you know, there were days where I just felt like, oh, not another envelope. But I also knew that there was something significant in the way that God was using that time to peel off layers of pride and, you know, things that just, I think he needed to peel off before he could use me in ways that I never would have imagined.
Yeah. And so I think as we celebrate this church, as we celebrate Christ Fellowship and what God has done here, you're just like one example. Like you said, you're one person who has not only served this church well, but also been served by this church well.
Oh yeah.
And so I think for people out there listening, that's what we want for them. We want them to be served by Christ Fellowship, but we also want them to know that this is a place you can serve and you can grow, and God will use your efforts to Absolutely. Bless the kingdom and to change you. There's nothing quite like serving to, like you said, humble you, give your life more value, give your life more purpose, make you feel like you're part of something bigger.
Absolutely. I think, you know, God has designed us for purpose, on purpose.
Yeah.
And so to live on purpose for him, is there truly is nothing greater.
So far, we've heard from staff who've been around a while. Tom Morris and Crystal Yates both came on board within the last 4 years, but they had a lot to say about what attracted them to Christ Fellowship and how it helped them heal from difficult seasons of ministry. We'll start with Tom, our new care pastor.
The journey here was very interesting. And so I had been let go from a church previously. And as I was looking to find a new church, because I had still felt that God was calling me to serve people through the church. And so we decided to leave the church and start looking at other churches. And we came here probably in September because Brian and Marissa Court had invited us to come.
And that would be what, 2018?
2018, correct. Okay. September 2018. And so the first time we came, I still had some hurt and some, so I was kind of jaded a little bit. And when I first came to Christ Fellowship, there were some things I really liked, but there were some things that I looked at and I wasn't really excited about.
Yeah.
And so like we had talked about earlier, I think that part of that was just me not being in a right place. As I came back in December, I felt more of a belonging. Mm. Tanya and I served that Christmas service, because that's kind of what we do as Team Morris. We love to serve, and we love to serve others. There are two things that really I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about this, that two things that really I love about Christ Fellowship. One is our finances. If you want to know about our finances, you just go to the website and you find out. We're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
The good times, the bad times, whatever that looks like. And so that really impressed me, because I came from some place that wasn't always like that. Number two is our staff. I mean, our staff is, man, we're like all on the same page, and we all love to help each other. And it's just so cool to be around that atmosphere, that there's no silos, that we're all unified and we're going and we're looking at the same direction. And so that's been cool. But what has brought that about is that each one of us are in a prayer group.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us on staff, we're in a prayer group. And I've been in the same group for now 2 years, and it's just been so amazing getting to share with three other guys the stuff that we're going through, as well as praying for people in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been really cool. It's a great experience. And for me, it's a place, once again, it's a safe place for me to be able to share and my frustrations, because as I was trying to find a full-time position and not one being had here yet at Christ Fellowship, I was able to share those emotions with the guys. And
mm-hmm.
and one of them was a pretty uppity up. And so, but he allowed me to share my frustrations and my hopes and dreams, and it was really cool.
Crystal Yates and her husband, Will, who is our worship pastor, came to Christ Fellowship over 3 years ago now. But that wasn't the first time Crystal had led worship from a Christ Fellowship stage.
I will never forget that. I kind of have a two-part story, because before I moved to Texas,
mm-hmm.
I was brought in to do an event, a women's event. And it was a church called MCFBC.
McKinney Fellowship Bible Church.
That's right. And that's what I remembered. So when I came here, I was brought in to do this women's event, and I just remember thinking, because, you know, in the Panhandle of Florida, we weren't real current up to date with what was going on in interior design and churches. It was still the green, I call it evangelistic green carpet. And so it was like these green carpet, green pews. And I remember walking into this church thinking, oh my gosh, those concrete floors are so cool. And I walked in thinking, what a beautiful church, what a beautiful facility. And it's whenever, I don't know if it was Worship East, was a gym maybe, possibly, or over in that area?
Well, the Promised Land area was a gym.
Okay. That's when I was here.
Okay, you were here in the gym.
There
okay,
was a grand
one.
Piano on stage,
yes.
And I think the floors were hardwood.
Yes.
I remember the ficus trees. Y'all did still have ficus.
Yes. Everyone had ficus.
Yes,
back
everybody
then.
Did. Yes. You couldn't have church without a ficus tree.
The cross is optional, but the ficus
yeah,
trees,
the ficus trees were very required. And I just remember thinking, what a beautiful church. And I remember all the ladies just sitting there and us singing some songs we had written. So
cool.
One of my first times kind of out with songs I have ever written was here at this church.
That's so cool. It's so cool. God brought you full circle back around.
It's wild.
So when you guys started like looking for a new position, you know, mm-hmm. you were leaving your old church and you're looking for new. Did you remember that when you started talking about coming to Christ Fellowship?
Okay. Because the name had changed.
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't sure, but mm-hmm. I remember getting online and researching. And just to back up just a little bit more, Will and I, as our season was coming to close, we had been traveling an hour and 15 minutes out to Argyle at the church that we were at for almost 7 years.
Yeah.
And as that season, and we kind of kept hearing from God as we'd prayed, do we need to move closer, you know, to the Argyle area? And we just kept hearing the Lord say, no, stay where you're at.
Mm. And where were you living at the time?
In McKinney.
Oh my goodness.
Like 10 minutes down the road from here.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy too? And so we were praying so hard, like, okay, our next season, Lord, we really want to be at a church that worships in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
And we want to be part of that. And we had been praying, God, take us to a church that teaches the Bible.
Yeah.
And we all know Pastor Bruce is a Bible teacher. What made me recognize that this was the church, we had a another pastor reach out to us, Dennis Richards, that was here at the time. He reached out and they said they were looking for a worship leader for like, I think like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah. It was a long process.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here we are 10 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, let's just see what God has. And so we were invited to come lead worship one Sunday. The first rehearsal we came to, Bruce was at, because you guys were about to go into your first 21 days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and it was near Christmas.
Yes. I remember that. I remember you singing at Christmas Eve.
Yes. And so we came, we sat down, and we heard Bruce's heart for 21 days. And I was, Will and I were grabbing each other's hands and squeezing because it was the spirit part. He's yeah. like, we just, and he said, we long to be led by God's spirit just yes. more and more. And I said, okay, I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I really hope that this is where you're calling us to, because I was feeling that strong Bible teaching, theologically sound, but also seeking actively the spirit of God. Yes,
and recognizing that God moves now.
Yes.
Yes.
But when I showed up for rehearsal tonight, I said, this is that church.
Yes.
I was like, the ficus trees are gone. It was because of the concrete floors.
Yeah.
And I found out, I said, what, have you always been Christ Fellowship? And I think it was Belinda said, no, we used to be MCFBC. And I said, oh my gosh, this is that church that I first came and sowed in me and I sowed in them. And it was a beautiful experience. And here I am.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm just grateful to be here. So grateful.
So what has Christ Fellowship meant to you in your own personal journey with the Lord?
Really, truly, it's been a place of healing for me.
Okay.
It has. It's been a place of healing because we've walked through some hard times. Ministry can be hard. I mean, it yeah. is a very, but beautiful. It's, I'm not saying that like, oh, no. woe is me. I'm saying it can be really hard because you're always wanting to be there for people. You're always wanting to pour, you know, out, and you're always wanting to give and forgetting that you need to receive.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget in ministry that I need to receive, and I've just received so much here.
Yeah.
And so much life, so much rest. Believe it or not, I've never felt so much rest while I'm working. Like, I don't feel like I'm striving here. I feel like I'm working.
Yeah, we're working hard.
But not striving.
Yes. And so there is that sense of peace of letting people grow.
Yes.
And that's not just true of the staff.
Yeah.
That's true for, I hope that's true for everyone that's a part of Christ Fellowship.
I think so, because a lot of feedback that I get from people are people who have been and walked through experiences where, you know, there's been wounding or there's been yeah. hurt, and they've received healing here.
Crystal and Will were attracted to Christ Fellowship because they believed it was a church living out Christ's call to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, when he and his family were looking for a new church home, Anna Campus pastor Mark Wyatt was attracted to the name, and his wife had a certain attachment to the playground.
You know, my wife and I and our family had gone through a difficult time in life. And so, you know, I didn't know, get to a place, I don't know if you want to do with me, God. I don't know if there's anything. I was actually a contract welder for a construction company. And so what was attractive to me about Christ Fellowship was the name.
Mm.
I looked at that and I said, you know, I'd come to the conviction that, you know, look, this is Christianity. The church is centered around a person. I believe that's really what the Bible's pointing at, and what our need for him, and that he's there, and that this is about him, and mm-hmm. the church is about him ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that the church wasn't really flashy. It wasn't about a personality. Bruce, like you said, people didn't know that you're there. And I was really attractive for me. Just, it was, the name said that.
Mm-hmm.
And a kind of funny thing, my wife had a couple of years before, she'd taken her children to play in the playground here. You know, you got to have one of those.
Yes.
You know, and my wife said, you know, she prayed, God, I wish we could come to a place like this.
Nice.
Before it ever happened.
Nice.
And so I came here and I got involved, was just volunteering. And I did everything from weld the children's fence around here, fix the rails and do some other things here. And then I got an opportunity to, they have a residence program here. I got to know Rafe. And then I also got to sit on the elder board, which is really, really good for me. I got to know. And I really appreciated the elder board here, because what I saw out of Bruce and the guys around him, that there wasn't agendas.
Mm.
I saw one of the elders talked about what was important was service, and I watched him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true.
Mm-hmm.
So there were good men that I watched, and I spent a year on a Timothy program and watching that, and that was good for me to see that and how the church was operated. And it was, I thought there was a lot of good things about that and good people. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was in this residence program, and they talked about doing a campus, and then I talked to Rafe, and one thing led to another, and we planted the campus in Anna.
Lori Wright is our executive pastor of Vision. She and her husband, Rafe, who is our adult ministries and missions pastor, have been at Christ Fellowship almost since the very beginning. I asked her how her time at Christ Fellowship has affected her personally.
Well, personally, it's been our life. It's been a wonderful church, but it's more than that. It's been a family.
Yeah.
we didn't have children when we first came, and we went into an adoption process. I guess it was in 2005, it was a 2-year process before anything happened. The prayers, the support that we had through the relationships and friendships, I don't know how we could have gone through it without that. And then when we adopted our boys, they were almost 6 years old. And so they started right away in Promised Land and childcare. God has used so many volunteers, so many people to come alongside us as parents.
Mm-hmm.
They went through student ministry, and incredible shepherds that walked alongside them all the way up until graduation. And then not to mention the mission trips. They were 12 years old. They went on their first mission trip to Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And then Guatemala, you know, almost a dozen times for one of them that they have gone. It's given them a heart for mission.
Yeah.
It's opened their eyes to things beyond their own world themselves. You know, sometimes our culture, we get so attached to our children and try and protect them in so many different ways. This has just given them a vision, I guess, beyond themselves of what God has for their lives. So, and it wouldn't have happened without Christ Fellowship. Yeah. So when I think back over the years and reflect on it, man, it's such a part of our life. You can't take that. It's not something on the outside of us. It's something on the inside of us.
Yeah.
And another thing, Lisa, that kind of behind the scenes that I think a lot of people aren't able to see is the heart of our leaders, the heart of our elders, the heart of Bruce, the support of their wives. There's sometimes some tough decisions that have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that they're not made in isolation. They're not made by one person. They're made prayerfully. They're mm-hmm. spirit-led. And I have a tremendous trust and tremendous faith in our leaders.
Yeah. The culture here at Christ Fellowship, and, you know, of course, we're human and we're not even close to perfect.
We're perfectly imperfect.
Yes. Mistakes are made. Yeah. But I think one of the things that I have loved, and it has come through everyone who's talked to me today, mm-hmm. is that there really is a real true, when we say we're all about Jesus,
yes.
we really are all about Jesus. And when we really say we want to love people, we want people to be welcomed, we want people to feel known and loved, that's just not a slogan.
No.
That's honestly true. And so we want people to come and find a place that they can yes. be a part, and they can have that support for whatever they're going through in their life.
This is a place where you will find truth. Jesus doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he has great plans for us, I know.
No doubt Lori will be part of those great plans in the role she's been in for about a year. We talked about the year we've just had as setting a trajectory for Christ Fellowship's future.
I love our vision, and I mean, it's a huge opportunity, but such a blessing to be able to serve in this capacity with the church that I love so much.
Yeah, and it's been a good year, really.
It's been a fantastic year.
I've been around a long time, and this has been one of the, I mean, churches have seasons just like anything else, just like life has seasons, but this has been a really exciting year.
It's been transformative, Lisa, and with the things that we're going through in our world right now, and with COVID and all the things, all the setbacks that churches have had.
Obstacles in their way.
Yes. God has just cleared the path. We are on the right track, and I'm so excited about not just where we are, but where we're going and the possibilities. I mean, we're just getting started. He's just getting started with us, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Which is amazing for a church that's 25 years old.
Exactly.
To really feel that sense of, hey, we're just getting started.
And we've done some amazing things in 25 years.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And just think, I mean, what's going to happen in the next 25? It's truly incredible.
Even as we're celebrating this week what God has done at Christ Fellowship in the last 25 years, we can't wait to see what he has planned for the future. I asked Bruce about the next 25 years. What would he like to see at the church's 50th anniversary?
I hope 25 years from now, Christ Fellowship is still deeply committed to Christ, that we are still, he's still our center, our top value. We're all about Jesus and never get distracted from Jesus. And I hope we're unified and that there are tons of younger people 25 years from now who are stepping up to play their role, mm-hmm. and that lives are still being changed, that people are trusting in Christ, being baptized, and that loneliness, anxiety, and addiction are greatly reduced in our community, and that we're shining as a bright, shining light that the McKinney and the surrounding community could not imagine Christ Fellowship not being here. That it would be a huge loss if somehow we didn't exist.
Yeah. Well, let's pray that that is so. For 25 years, Christ Fellowship has been true to its mission to be people helping people find and follow Christ. I am one of those people, and so are you. We aren't perfect, but we sure love Jesus and want to grow in our love and service to God and to the people of our community. Will you join us in praying for God's wisdom, guidance, mercy, and grace to keep on doing just that? Many thanks to everyone who took the time to talk to me about their Christ Fellowship experience. I hope you were as blessed as I was by their stories. We'll see you back next week.